we've kind of like learned the importance of delegating in order to keep the house and things running efficiently, being productive. And really, it does play into the other thing we're talking about here, which is boundaries.
Welcome to On the Grow, where the journey is just as important as the destination. The podcast where we embark on the exciting journey of intentional living within the whirlwind of busy family life. Join us, Cyrus and Michelle, as we navigate the chaos with laughter, love, and a shared commitment to fostering growth. So whether you're a seasoned parent or just starting your family journey, join us each week for candid conversations, heartwarming anecdotes, and valuable insights. Let's grow together, laugh together, and build a community that celebrates intentional living.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of On the Grow. This is a podcast where we talk about things like marriage, family, travel,
golf.
A little bit, and entrepreneurship. And most importantly, as our title says, we like to talk about things that are growth mindset. So that's kind of why we have On the Grow. So we love all things growth mindset and putting in that work personally and professionally. Today, we kind of wanted to chat about two topics that are really important to us in the personal home setting and professionally, and that's delegation and boundary setting. So I'm really excited to kind of dive into it today. Oh, and I should reintroduce ourselves for our brand new listeners, all one of you. I'm Michelle Jaffrey.
And I'm Cyrus Jaffrey.
And here we go. All right. So we are talking about delegation and boundary setting. And I do have my phone to just keep me on track because that's part of being organized. But so delegation, the definition is entrusting a task or responsibility to another person. And I would say that's extremely important to learn in both your personal and professional life. Can you kind of jump in first and say, talk about kind of how you use delegation and how you've seen it really benefit and play out in the professional setting? And then maybe I'll touch on how I've kind of learned to do it over time in the home setting.
Yeah. So on the professional setting, I think the only way to grow in no matter what you're doing as a leader is to delegate things, right? So I think there's been a lot of times where we talk about what's your like hourly wage, like that's the kind of work you should be doing, right? So as a CEO of a company that you are, I don't know, let's just say $100, $200 an hour, whatever the math is for you, and you going over there and basically taking a call or making a payment from a client on the insurance side of things, or just taking small little things, is that really worth your time or things you should be doing to move the needle inside of your organization to the next level? Same thing at your house, right? So for me, that was the case from 5 years ago. I was in the thick of it when I was with another agency where I was the agent. My name was on everything. And it's really hard to get away from things when your name is on everything and everybody wants to talk to you. And then now 5 years later, you know, I haven't done a policy. I haven't written a policy. I haven't done anything for about 4 years now. Like all I've done is brought on people internally that I can delegate things to empower them to do things that I used to do. But now there's 20 of them doing it versus just one person doing it, right? It might not be your way, but you're basically empowering other people, delegating the tasks for them to accomplish. So you could do bigger things, which for me would be go find more partners inside of our organization to bring those leads inside and then feed our insurance agents, or do the social media or the podcast or do those things, because that's what I should be doing for my organization to move the needle. I don't need to be doing the little things. We got to delegate that to the people. And that's, I think, how you grow inside of your organization and take the next step. And that's how we have grown in the last 5 years, from 3 employees up to about 130. And the only way to do that is for you to not be doing this stuff that is not worth your time, finding other people to do it.
And I think sometimes I struggle, I know, with you, because sometimes you'll say things and I know what you mean. You're pretty like literal. And I do believe that a lot of this comes from like that cultural background in you. But so, for example, when you said, I don't do anything anymore, you're implying not that you don't do anything in the business, because we all know that you're like doing so much, but you're implying that you're not doing any of the actual potentially like in a certain way of like that revenue of like the selling. You're more so bringing on people to do that selling so you can grow. So it's like when you say that, and then also like, I would just say overall, like you mentioned at the end, like, I feel like it just, it's a lot of how you say it's not worth my time. I know this is another thing that used to kind of bother me when you'd say, I would ask you to like do something during the day. And you're like, sure. But an hour of my time costs me X amount of dollars. And you used to throw a number out there. And I know as a wife and as the family, it'd be hard for me, but it's because that's how your mind works as a business owner. And I think that for you and I, just jumping into the marriage sphere again, real quick, that was kind of hard for me. Like, hey, can you meet me at, I don't know, whatever it is during the day, a meeting for Jonah's preschool or a doctor's appointment? Sure, but it's going to, you know, it costs me X amount of dollars when I'm away and I'm not productive.
Those are different times, different. But I mean, there are certain things that are way more important than money, right? Like your kids' plays, obviously, or all that stuff. So by no means she's saying like, I would say, hey, I can't go to this or that because of that. But I think the biggest thing you have to realize is you only have so much time in your day, and what times those are to where you're the most productive. And that's what I think you guys need to figure out. And we're trying to figure that out ourselves. Like, I know my times, like I'm very productive in the morning. I get pretty tired later in the evening because I mean, I'm going 100 miles an hour. I woke up at 4:35 a.m. to get a workout in, so I don't have to do that later on. And then on top of it, there are some things that, so when I come home, like the last thing I want to do is mow the lawn. Like, I know I want to hang out with my kids because I only get until she's out for college. And then I don't know how much we're going to see her. So delegating times in work and then delegating things at your home to be able to make time for things that are worth it is you're not going to think about that right now. But I promise you, anybody I ask who is older, who has kids that are grown, they wish they could go back when their kid was like 7, 8 years old and they could give dad a hug or they can spend time with them in the basement or whatever. So I think those are things that I am trying to figure that out, but it's really hard for somebody like her to see that, because all the other husbands or whatever, right, are maybe mowing the lawn or outside or cleaning the garage and doing all those things. And I'm like, well, I'll do some of those things. Maybe we can hire those out so we can spend the time doing the things that truly matter.
Yeah, I think that it was, and I like how you transitioned into how we delegate in the personal like arena and at home. I think it was hard for me because sometimes you do see and it's hard. And I think this is where even sometimes I struggle, because he is such a forward thinker. Like, I'm a pretty forward thinker, but he's a pretty like big picture, visionary, forward thinker. And he's seen so long term, even farther than my long term, that is pretty far out there. But he's seeing it down the road. And so sometimes that growth mindset, when you're just kind of in a misalignment or you're not understanding, it takes a lot of communication to be like, what are you thinking here? Because yes, at the beginning, like of our marriage and having kids, I'd be frustrated because my natural like OCD anxious self is like, why are you like, our yard needs mowed. I've done a million things all day. I know you have too, but you know, this needs mowed. And when he's like, I think I'm going to hire someone to do it, it's hard to understand. Like, is this at first your initial thought as a wife? Like, is this laziness? Is this, what is this? And then once he explains, he's like, let's look at like efficiency, productivity, and other ways that we value what things cost, because it's not even just the like fiscal amount, like the, I don't know if that's the right word, whatever. It's like, it's not the like actual like monetary amount of like, how much does this cost? $40 an hour. We're talking about all the other things underneath. So what does it cost? Well, it's going to cost an hour of your time. Like he said, if we have 3 hours in the evening hours, 5 to 8 before kids go to bed, it costs 1/3 of your time with your kids. Like, other ways to look at that. I remember I forget the term now, like in your business courses, you look at like the economic cost of like, you know, there's this cost, but then there's the economic cost of what it's going to cost you in sacrifice of other things. And I think then that's where I started to see his growth mindset and why he ended up outsourcing or delegating some of these things within the home. And then it encouraged me to kind of look at, to have a look at some of the things that I was doing within the home. And for example, a really hard one for me was hiring a cleaner for the house, because I'm meticulous. I'm very like OCD. I love a clean house. I'm capable of cleaning my house, just as like Cyrus is capable of mowing his own yard. He's capable of, you know, shoveling the driveway when we get a lot of snow and these kind of things. It's just, it's going to cost you somewhere else. Same with me. I'm capable and I'm a great cleaner, but what it was costing me during the day was my energy. So when I was spending all my day cleaning, like deep cleaning toilets and stuff, and I'm like putting someone on an iPad or something to keep them busy and getting frustrated with them because they're in my space when I'm cleaning. Like, it's costing so much more on the back end as far as like my relationship with my kids, my energy levels, my satisfaction during the day, whereas I could just pay for it to get it done. And it's going to cost, you know, it's like, you know, you just make it happen. And I know that it sounds like a privileged perspective, like, well, it must be nice to. But again, I do think that that is sometimes like a victim mindset or like a cop-out that sometimes people use. Because honestly, for our home to get clean once a month, it's like $180, which I don't think that's that much at all. And to be honest, like if you calculate how much, say you buy a $7 Starbucks every day, I mean, you just, you know, it's, so it's what's important to you, because I don't get a Starbucks every day. Like, there are certain things that I sacrifice. I'm, you know, there are others of areas of my life where I don't spend like others do, where they prioritize in certain things. So it's just finding out what's important to you. And again, like kind of your priorities and your boundaries around that and what it's costing you in other areas. So I would feel like we've kind of like learned the importance of delegating in order to keep the house and things running efficiently, being productive. And really, it does play into the other thing we're talking about here, which is boundary setting. And I feel like for us, that was also not only something we delegated, but a boundary setting of saying, this is a boundary that we're putting in place of we're not doing these certain tasks to save some of our energy reserves or to protect our relationship or to enhance a relationship with our kids and really prioritize that. Like, it's been a boundary, a delegation and a boundary that we've placed to keep things running the direction we want to go and at a pace that we like. So it's getting the right people in place. But I know that's easier said than done, especially like it took me a lot of work to trust someone. You know, it can be hard, especially for a woman, to trust someone with, who can I trust to come in my home? Or for example, if you need a babysitter as like a stay-at-home mom, who can I trust? And that art of trust is a whole mindset block too, that can be really hard, especially for a lot of women. I know, like myself, I had, you know, postpartum anxiety and depression. I think I've touched on that or love to in another topic, but even little things like trust and letting go can be really hard sometimes, because when this is a whole part of your nature and a part of your job and your fulfillment, it can be hard to let go and to trust someone else with some of these things. Cause I know I still had a hard time letting go of the fact of like cleaning my own home, because it feels like, oh, I'm capable. This is something that makes me feel proud. This is something that makes me, but you know, we can always do it later in the future. We can always go back to that. Like he said, at this time right now, this is what we've chosen to do. As kids get older, kids will probably be able to mow. So we won't need to delegate that out, or it'll be a learning opportunity for a chore, for a responsibility, or something that we'll have the time to take on. It's just recognizing the time period of your life. But if it does feel like it's hard to delegate and hard to trust and give up that control, I understand. I'm sure you've had times where it can be hard to delegate in the business to certain things, or even I know you've talked about like some of the things you haven't had time for as much that have been a struggle of not getting to do. Like maybe it's the networking opportunities or the things that you valued, and you're like, now you've kind of having to trust someone else to represent you almost in the business setting. Same when you hire a babysitter or you outsource childcare, it's, you're finding like a replacement to like replace like your presence. And that can be a really hard feat. So, I'd love to chat about some of that mindset from my, I guess, life coaching hat of how I know it is so difficult to relinquish a little bit of that control and to trust, because it can be hard when this is like your office is like your baby, your work is like your baby, and at home, our physical babies are actual babies. So I know some of these things of delegation are easier said than done. And some of it is, you know, you've worked hard for the privilege to be able to afford some of these. But like I said, a lot of it is looking at finances and being responsible on that side as well.
I would say you can't afford to not do it. Because like I said, everybody I talk to, they wish they had more time with their kids or had a better connection or did other things to grow their business. But they're stuck into the weeds of doing the things that honestly is not moving the needle in the organization. In our industry, there's so many, like, so here's how I was just talking to somebody about this on my other podcast. It was, they asked me, what's the biggest difference between like a let's just say a State Farm, Allstate, American Family agent on the insurance side.
Which are captive, right?
Which is captive, yep. where they represent one company versus an independent company like us, where we represent, you know, 30 different companies. What's the biggest difference? I said, listen, like on my end, on this side, and I used to be on both sides, so I can understand this. What I'm looking at today is to potentially go public one day. Like that's our goal, right? Which is the highest of what you can potentially accomplish. Versus when I was a State Farm agent, like whatever, 6 years ago, all I wanted to do was write 10 more life insurance policies so I can go on a trip. Like that was like our goal every year, is to like 10 more life insurance policies so I can go on a trip. Versus now, like we're going to go potentially public, change millions of lives, 130 employees, like all this stuff, right? So your thinking kind of changes as you start to delegate things and you start thinking big and figuring out agents underneath you potentially that are thinking the same way. Hey, I got to write 10 more life policies to do this. Now you got 100 of them internally in your office that's doing it. And you've created this environment to get other people to be able to do certain things. So that's how I look at it. Like if you want to grow and you want to grow out of your shell, no matter what business you're in, as a parent, as a dad, as a mom, as a whatever, like you gotta sometimes have to let go of some things and focus on like the bigger picture. Because at the end of the day, if you don't have a vision of where you want to go, like the boat's not gonna, you know, you're not gonna be able to row the boat if you don't know exactly where you're going, because you're going to go all over, right? I feel like if you're in the day to day, that's what you're doing, is you're just kind of going this way. And then that way, you're really not having a clear vision of where you truly want to go. Once you figure out the delegation piece of it, you cannot afford not to do this. And I'm telling you this with example, because I can't afford to not have somebody do the lawn for me for $40, because I feel like by then I got to go clean up. I got to take a shower. I got to clean my shoes. Like mm-hmm. an hour turns into an hour and a half, 2 hours. Now I'm out of energy. Maybe I'm not going to wrestle with my little boy who's 5 years old, and I'm not going to do that because I just did that. So, and after a while you come to realize, man, I wish I would have done a lot of those things. And there are days that I don't want to do those things, like wrestle and all that with my kids, because I'm tired throughout the day. So I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm just saying I know at least that that's what I want to do. That's my vision, is to spend more time with my kids and do certain things versus obviously doing some of the other things and staying at work till 6-7 o'clock because I'm in the weeds. Now I can't get home at 4:30 to spend time with your kids or picking them up on a nice day or go on a walk.
Now you go home to mow the weeds.
Mow the weeds after 6:30, 7 o'clock. So I think that's everything, personal, business. You just got to have to find a way. Find your worth first. Like, what are some things that you should really be doing? What are you really worth doing to be able to move the needle in your organization? Like, honestly, you could be
in your home
or in your home. Like, but you could be like, none of us, like, man, we're not even close to being perfect. We're not even close to being like at 50% capacity of where we could be, but we try to get there.
Yeah. That's the whole point, is that growth. And you said too, or I thought of two important things while you were talking. I think one of the most important thing was to remember, I think it's just an interesting perspective for both of us. We both come from very hardworking immigrant families, because really, like, my dad's family immigrated from Mexico and Cyrus's family came here as refugees. Like, these are hardworking folks who did all the work in their home and still do. Like, neither one of our parents have heard of delegation, really, like as far as like physical work and physical labor in their home. And that's fantastic. And I love what they do. And so naturally, when I was married, like, you know, in our home, I'm like, wait, what? You're not spending like 2 hours on your lawn or 3 to 5 hours like my dad does? Like, it was just a shock for me. But I think because of that perspective has given us now, having been children from very hard physical workers, and they are so proud of me that we love them so much. But we do recognize how we missed out on some connecting time with our parents because they were so busy working at home or working outside the home. Cyrus's dad was a shop owner, store owner in Afghanistan. And my dad was obviously a State Farm agent, funny enough. But, you know, so we were parents of these hardworking lifestyles, and we just recognized where we would have liked to have seen a little bit more of a balance. So the whole thing is not to come from a point, like he said, of preaching of like, we're perfect, we've got it figured out. That's not it at all. It's just we've lived through certain things and different, a whole bunch of stuff that's made us change the way our vision is and what we want for our family, and has caused us to have this growth mindset of kind of challenging, not challenging, but changing the way maybe we decide to do things. And I do think there is something to be said about, sounded like when you were kind of talking, it's like you can only grow to your potential of your environment. So we recognized this the other day when he worked previously, he was called a captive agent. Like the word itself implies that you're held captive versus being an independent agent. It's just hilarious to me, captive versus independent. And I think that you were capped, like you had reached your ceiling, you were capped. And you can only grow so much in an environment where you're planted. Like you can plant a huge sunflower seed, but if you plant it in a mason jar, that's like, it's not going to thrive. So sometimes it does require bold changes and a new way of thinking and a new environment to really grow to your potential. And that is something that we have really been talking about too in our environment and what we want to have for the future for our kids and what they're exposed to and how can we provide them with more enriching opportunities in different environments where we can collectively grow in our marriage and professionally and where our kids can grow and thrive. And I think you sometimes get, you hit the threshold and you hit the ceiling in your environment. And sometimes it does take bravery, boldness, and rethinking what you've previously learned. And sometimes that entails challenging societal, cultural, familial norms or expectations for you. I think our past generations really love stability, security, like just play it safe. Don't take too risks. Stay in this job your whole life, regardless of if you like it or not. And we're both kind of in the mindset of, no, like, well, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to go where we're happy. We're going to do what makes us happy. We're going to try to think outside the box, try to break that glass ceiling of what we think is possible and just kind of challenge some of those. So I thought that was interesting how, you know, you can only grow to so much of your environment. And when you were at your previous company, you know, the limit was already set in that environment. So seeing from a new perspective really opens your eyes. And that's one of the things I love about travel and why I'd love to do maybe a year abroad someday in the future, because when you change your environment, it changes even your thinking and even your potential and the possibilities for you. So it really opens up a lot of windows. So that's, I know, something personally I've always loved about traveling and meeting different cultures and languages. I mean, I even grew so much meeting your culture and your family and seeing the way that they do things and being like, I want to adopt some of that into our American culture and the way our family is and this community and that community. Like I love taking and learning and growing from different places and people and things to continually like help our environment grow too. He's like, no. Boom. What she said. No, but then that's a bigger topic too. I'd love to kind of chat on our thoughts on that someday. Like I said, I look forward to future episodes kind of chatting about that dream and that vision long-term for our family of just opening our kids' eyes to the world. Because sometimes when you just stay in, when you play it safe and you stay in a safe environment and you stay put where you've always been and you do what's always been done, that's kind of where you level out. But when you see, you know, bigger opportunities, like I was very fortunate because of those life insurance policies, because of the State Farm trips to see the world, but it gave me that mindset of like, what else is out there? And so I've always craving of, and that awareness, and it changes your thinking. And so I'd love to do another episode down the future about our goals for that. But I did kind of want to jump back into, and we might need to break these up into a couple episodes on a part two of boundary setting. But I really want to talk about how we've kind of learned to set those boundaries. I know you talked about the energy levels that you have. You know, you go, you give it your all, and I try to give it my all at home. So naturally, and this is all stay-at-home moms, we know the reels. It's like, dad comes home and it's like, bye, kids are yours. You're like, I'm done. I'm checked out. But it's like hard because he's also worked all day. And so he comes home and he's tired and he's like, I'm checked out. So figuring out how to work with each other, like at home after both recognizing that we've had long days. And I know one way we set up boundaries was just certain things. Like I remember you saying like, you know, us having some sort of like contention sometimes when you'd get home, you're like, I kind of like, I need just a few minutes to decompress. Like I've had a long day. And granted, it's in certain times when you were, you know, starting a new business, it's like having a newborn baby, but there were certain times where you set some boundaries of being like, hey, do you mind? Like I need 5-10 minutes to get changed, to decompress a second, and then I'll be ready to go. And then, but my thing being home all day, I'm like, like so excited to want to just chat and tell him everything. And what do you want to do about this? And he's like, I need you to pump the brakes. Like, I don't have the energy at this time. Like, this is the time where I have the most energy. So maybe you want to speak to kind of how you learn to like kind of advocate for that and how we learn to set some boundaries, like even in things like that, communication or at home.
Yeah, I think one of them, I think everybody should figure out what are your, like, your more productive hours, right? To where you have the most energy, to where you can accomplish certain tasks. Like an average human being, you can't do more than 2 to 3 big decisions or big tasks a day, because that's just human nature. People are like, oh, I could do 10 tasks. You can, you're just going to do it average, right? You're not going to be able to do it at the level that, like, I would do it. Because when I do things like at work or other things, like, I want to make sure it's done correctly and right. And it's a standard we set in our organization, right? So for me, like, as a leader of the organization, like, people watch me all the time. Like, what is he doing? How is he spending his time? Is he just sitting around on Facebook? Is he taking a lot of bathroom breaks? Is he taking cigarette breaks? I don't know. I don't know what you guys are up to these days, if people smoke anymore. But, like, what is this guy doing? How is he productively working, right? Because I feel like everybody is a leader, right? And as leaders, there's a lot of people that watch you, and they watch every little step, even at home. Like, my kids watch all the time. Like, my son Jonas still says that Dad said the F word back in Halloween, like, 2 years ago. And that's where he learned the F word from. And we don't say the F word at our house. Maybe it came out.
And why on Halloween?
Like, I don't know why. That's his favorite. That's his favorite. Favorite holiday. But they watch every little step. So you got to be really careful on certain things that you do, because you're setting standards for other people. So for me, it was pretty simple. I said, hey, Michelle, like, these are the times that I think I have the most energy. And these are the times that I don't have a ton of energy. And I really don't want to talk about certain things at this time, you know? And I think if I wouldn't have told her that, or, I mean, for us, we don't do date nights as much. Maybe we should. We don't do it a lot, because we're like, hey, I think we can squeeze in a lot of these times and certain times in our day to where we can have conversations. So we're trying to figure that piece of it out even today, honestly. Like, we don't have an exact time, but I've told her, hey, in the morning I have more energy. I can take Sophia to school and then I can come back. We have 20 to 30 minutes while the boys are playing. We have 20 to 30 minutes. I have a lot of energy. I've had a couple of cups of coffee. Like, I'm ready to go. We're like, down. We can talk about certain things, and I have a lot more energy. But at night, 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock is when she has the most energy somehow. And I'm like, I'm dead, you know? But that's because, you know, I do certain things I do at my work during the day, like waking up at 5 a.m., getting a workout, right? A very hard workout. Then you get ready for the day. And then I'm going to work for 7 or 8 hours. And my work is literally like this. Like, I may have 10, 15 minutes. It's podcasts. It's talking to people. It's leading our team. It's about a lot of meetings, a lot of conferences, a lot of stuff that I'm doing, a lot financial of carrier meetings, a lot of bank and financials and buying businesses, whatever, right? So, like, my day is just set up in a way to where it's a lot of mental hurdles that I got to go through. And, like, by the time I get home,
these things, it's not like we were like, I'll start it out in marriage. Let's chat this time. It's like, no, we had these hurdles where I'm like, this is really annoying, because he talks about his day as mental and financial and numbers and that kind of stress. Whereas my day, like with the kids, is physical and it's emotional. So it's like, so for me, those tanks are empty at the end of the day of like having the physical energy or the emotional like bandwidth. But I haven't had as much like mental stimulation of like talking with, you know, adults or having like these forward thinking conversations. So I'm ready. That's why, like, I'm ready to go, because I haven't had that need met versus the other. So it's like, we're on opposite pages. So we've definitely had our times where like, I didn't understand, like, I'm like, what is going on? Or like, this is annoying. And then I think it does take two people to both work at it. Like, that's why relationships, and it's not 50-50. Sometimes it's 75 and 25, or sometimes it's 60 and 40. Like, it's just, it's never going to be 50-50. You give what you can on that day, and, you know, it just, you meet each other where they're at. But I think it also takes two people to like understand. Cause at the beginning, when he's like, hey, like, he kindly said, like, in not so like few words, like, I don't really want to talk about this kind of stuff from 5 to 6, which I was like, initially, like, hey, like, rude, like, this is when I want to talk. Like, do you not like understand that I've been home with the kids all day? Like, I'm ready to have some adult conversations. But then taking some time to sit with it, you can challenge that thinking of rude. He's telling me he doesn't want to talk with me from 5 to 6 to, he's telling, giving me an opportunity to have a better time frame to connect with him where he'll be better, so he can provide a better, I don't know, experience, or like, he'll be just more able to
into the conversation,
right?
Give some value
rather than giving me, you know, a half-assed conversation. So I had to really challenge my thinking around it from being like, okay, that's like really like rude. And what are we going to do about this? To like, oh, I see. And I think that that's been my whole life with him specifically. And maybe it's men in general. I don't know. Let me know, ladies. But I feel like it's just like, you have to like decode a man and like figure them out. And it's like underneath, underneath they mean well. I'm getting pretty close with you. But like, also I feel like the cultural piece and like, just the fact that English isn't even your first language. So you're just, you tend to be more direct, or the way you say things are just a lot more direct than we Americans like to like sugarcoat or sandwich things. So I really had to kind of like challenge my thinking around the way you do some of these things. But all in all, I see now that, you know, setting up boundaries of your emotional energy, your, you know, all these things isn't selfish. It's, you know, forward thinking, that growth mindset, thinking of what's best, you know, collaboratively, collectively for the family and for the relationships. I feel like it's really helped improve our communication, reduce some of that stress and like conflict after work, like our overall well-being. I do feel like it's also, we've kind of talked about work hours and availability. You've kind of like, again, in not so many words, told me like, unless it's like an emergency, I kind of like, I like to be in the zone at work, and I get that. So again, it just, everything kind of boils down to communication and setting those boundaries for yourself, as far as like, even like, and some people during the day, maybe like time blocking, like I'm big on like time management, having windows where like, this is when I'm going to get things done. Cause also otherwise you'll feel frustrated. Like if I try to do certain things, like when my kids are up and around me, like it's going to take me twice as long. I'm going to get frustrated with them. I'm going to get frustrated with myself. Whereas if I did some of my thing during their nap time, I'm going to be more efficient, not going to have as much stress. So it's finding your time management and when to get things done and waiting. Same with like, even for me, like even in the house, being a stay-at-home mom, taking calls or looking at emails, a lot of times all of that waits till like 1 p.m. during nap time, because it's just better for me and my brain. Like that's when I can like actually like put a thought back together and respond or compose an email and things. So I think some of that time blocking and setting, like even for you, I know like maybe you can speak to that, how you've done it, like as a business owner, like you used to block off, this is the morning I'm going to work on payroll. This is the morning I'm going to respond to emails. This is the day I'm going to do this. Like, and you kind of time block your schedule and set those boundaries to be more efficient and productive.
Yeah. Like for me, you know, I probably have 6 hours a day to where I really have, where I get work done. So for me, it's pretty simple. In the morning, there's 2 hours of like, just, you know, they call it eat the frog. It's just like, you got to do stuff that you hate, because that's when you have the most energy. That's when you can accomplish tasks that are really challenging for work, right? It's like, for me, it's maybe, I don't know, a client is mad and I need to somehow be involved, which is very rare, and I don't want to do that. Or somebody's house burned down and I need to be involved, unfortunately, because
not that you don't want to do it.
Insurance. It's things that I do, not that I don't want to do it. It's things that I need to do for the business.
Can be draining. Those are an emotional drain. Those are mental drains.
And you want to do those in the morning versus in the afternoon, because you won't do it. How do you call somebody that maybe lost their house and not really be emotionally there for them, right? So eat the frog. I think that mentality of getting the tasks done that are super tough for you, like right away, maybe it's cold calling for you. Like a lot of our guys, we told our guys, hey guys, like when you're in the morning, when you come in, get your coffee, we'll do our 9 a.m. meeting from like 9:15, 9:20 to 11 o'clock. Like get in your rooms, man, get rid of, eat the frog, get those cold calls out of the way, because everybody hates
you cold don't want to do done first,
which is cold calling. Nobody wants to make cold
for
calls.
For me, maybe it would be do a load of laundry or unload the dishwasher. Get the things you don't want to do done first.
You have
first.
Energy. Yeah. You know, you've had coffee, you have energy, and then it kind of drains in the afternoon. And then in the afternoon, there's a lot of meetings for me to where like, hey, if I'm in a meeting and I have to talk, because talking gives you energy, right? So the more you talk, the more energy you get. And the best times to have those meetings are between like maybe 1:30 to 4. And that's when you can't reach me. You know, I tell Michelle, like, you can't reach me, because a lot of my meetings are set up in my Calendly link to where like I only have meetings available for my podcast and other things from 1:30 to 5, because when I talk, I have energy. And if I don't talk, I'm just sitting doing emails in the afternoon. I get more drained and I don't have a lot of energy. So tough tasks in the morning, more meetings and conferences where you're talking, you're building relationships with the podcast or other meetings or whatever, or with your partners, for me, for example, that we have to talk to. Those are all done in the afternoon because I have a lot more energy. And then the last 30 minutes or whatever until 4:30 to just basically tie some things for the day to making sure that there is no loose ends. Cause that's the one thing I hate the most is going home and knowing that I have to do certain things today, because then you're going home and you're home and you're like, oh man, I forgot to do those three or four things that I really needed to send that email today, right? For example, it's payroll. If I don't do payroll certain times, people don't get paid. So for me, it's like I have that and then it's going to linger over me all night, and it's just not fair to the family to be able to be lingered on those things. So that's what I would say, is figure out what it is for you. Maybe for you, it's like, man, in the afternoon, I have a lot of energy. Maybe you're unique, whatever. That's okay. I don't go lunch. I hate lunch meetings. I haven't done it because it's weird to, why you're talking. You're building a relationship, but you're eating food. Like, I don't understand the concept, to be honest with you. A lot of people do that. I don't do it. So for me, it's a lot of maybe coffees in the morning. If people want to meet with me, I don't do that a lot, but it's more coffees than lunches. So, but at lunchtime, sometimes I get a quick walk or something for 30 minutes because that gives you a little bit of energy for the afternoon, or going to the gym or whatever that is. So those are how I structure my day. And it's all set up in a way to accomplish the next 2 hours afterwards, everything you're doing, because not having a vision for the next 4 hours is how I see it. Okay, for the next 4 hours, these are the things I need to accomplish, and here's how it's set up, and then it's the next 4 hours after that. That's how our organization is set up as well. We have a 9 a.m. meeting. How did things go? And then we have a 1 a.m., 1 p.m. meeting. How are things going? What are you going to do for the next 4 hours to keep people accountable to accomplish certain things?
Yeah, I definitely think there's like the mental piece of like knowing it in your brain, setting those mental boundaries, those time boundaries, and also physical. I know I'm a big one of, because I am a clean freak, I'm always like, whatever your environment is like, is how your brain is going to be. If it's messy, if it's chaotic, if it's disorganized, that's going to be the same. So sometimes setting boundaries, even in the physical sense of like your work environment, like what do you need to be productive? Like what distractions can you eliminate? How do you stay focused? Even with your site, we're in Cyrus's new office building, and you know, like they're going to have more space. They're kind of starting to get on top of each other, and that affects productivity. You know, when you're on top of each other, you're here, you're distracted by other calls. So it's like looking at kind of like your settings, your space, are certain things distracting
you? Need both, in my opinion, right? Like you need, yeah. I need my quiet time for another 2 hours. And then we have an office. We have like an open concept space to where we have a big table. There's 4, 5, 6, or 7 desks, 7 chairs around it. People can go there for a little bit, get a little bit of energy, and then go back and do your thing inside of your office. So we're creating that environment to where, hey, come hang out if you need, right? But then if you want your quiet time, we have like a little phone booth as well where people can go in, personal calls to where you can't hear anything. So I think, like you said, if you're creating your environment to where you're productive in those environments, is the best way for you to be able to accomplish certain things.
And I think with that too, another thing, boundaries within, even for you as an entrepreneur, like as far as like who you're hiring, it has to be the right culture fit and personality match. I know that a lot of business owners do that, but it really does affect the whole organization. So sometimes you have to make tough calls as a business leader, or even in your home, like maybe you have a fantastic nanny or X, Y, and Z, or someone who's, you know, you've delegated a responsibility, or a teacher or a school or whatever that may be. But if it's not benefiting you guys learning, another just fantastic boundary, and something our pastor talked about at church, is just the art of saying no. Like that's a boundary, learning how to say no, unlearning that advocating for yourself and your needs is selfish, because it's truly not. When we're at our best, everyone benefits. Everyone around us benefits in an organization. When mom is at their best in a home, your kids benefit. Like the best thing you can do is work on yourself. And I feel like we both do a lot of personal development, and we're so big into it because we see the results. And it's just like, a lot of his business stuff wouldn't be possible without it. A lot of our stuff in our home wouldn't be possible without just working on ourselves. Like we're not working on, or I'm not working, you know, on my kids with certain things. It's just a result of me working at myself and being at my best. So sometimes saying no, or making hard cuts in a business, or making hard decisions, or drawing those boundaries and lines aren't selfish. It really is what is best to protect your well-being and therefore the well-being of the collective. So sometimes you have to do that as a business owner. those boundaries and looking at, you know, even who's a cultural fit and who meshes well in the office to provide that environment.
That's a little tough, right? I mean, as you guys know with kids, you know, the more leeway you give them, the more they take advantage of it, right? So like with our son, for example, like, you know, with tablet time, right? Like, I mean, they could be on tablet time for a long time. But so we use those tablet times because they get an hour or whatever a day. So, hey guys, like, if you don't clean like your mess, like you're not going to get, cause I'm not going to go clean that for you. You got to delegate it. She talks about it all the time. I sometimes just do it cause I'm like, it's just easier, but easier way is you're going to be keep doing that forever. Cause like, they're never going to want to clean. Right. So the fact that like you tell your kids, hey, you got to go clean up. If you don't clean up, you don't get your tablet time, right? So this is where you're delegating the cleanup because they made the mess. They should clean up versus as parents, because we're teaching them that, hey, it's easy way in life. And for you, you could take the easy route. And that's not going to long term be at the best interest of the kid to be able to take the easy route. You make a mess, you clean up, and then you move on to certain things, right? So it's the same concept inside of the organization as well, as far as culture goes, right? Like sometimes you think it's a good culture and all that stuff, and sometimes it doesn't work out. And for me, it's really hard to say no or to fire people and all that stuff. But we've had to do it. But what you could do is you could put some boundaries in place, right? And then stick to the boundaries. Like, okay, if this person did this, this is pretty much like, if you lied to me and you're not honest with me, that's pretty much grounds for termination, right? But if you didn't make the calls like 3 weeks in a row that we told you to, then we're going to give you a second chance and say, hey, you got to improve this, because if you don't, then there's probably not going to be. And then there's another second chance or whatever, and then they're gone. But there are certain things that are like, okay, there's no, that's non-negotiable. You can't lie to me. You can't do this, right? You can't treat other people the wrong way. We have a lot of ladies here and a lot of younger people that work in our organization. We have older people, younger people, sort of all the older people want a certain way in the organization of like running our organization, right? Because they come from old. So we have a 65-year-old who's really like, he's old school. He's just like, I get it, you know, because that's how they grew up. They want certain things, more professional environment and all that stuff. And obviously we want the same thing as well. But we have a blend of 23, 24, 25-year-olds as well, that maybe they want a little bit of music, maybe give them a little bit more leeway. So how do you figure out boundaries on both ends of those things? So that reminds me a little bit of our home, because we have a 7-year-old, 8-year-old that's like super, like, she tell her something, she'll do it. But we got to put more boundaries on the other two because they're all over the place. And if we don't put a little boundary on the boys, they're going to run into the wall. They're going to have candy all night. They won't eat anything else but candy. So boundaries are good for them and good for your household, because it's going to be in the long run in the best interest of them.
Well, yeah. And I think that someone always said something about boundaries, like it's like a kid in a sandbox. If they feel safer to play in their contained area, or you know where you can go, there's those expectations. And just again, communication too, like, especially I'm sure when you're hiring, you're like, this is kind of like the environment, the atmosphere. We want you to kind of like fit. We kind of like to be positive, high level, like energetic.
Yeah, we read
like,
one book a month. We work on positivity. We work on mindsets, because
we kind of know what they're getting into.
We're not trying to build insurance agents, to be honest with you. We're trying to build good human beings. Good, you know, so that's why it hurts sometimes when like some people leave you or some people don't appreciate it, because you're like, man, like, we're trying to do everything we can in our power to make you a good human being, but you're just not giving yourself a chance. You're not following the guidelines of what works. I mean, it's obviously worked for us, right? Because we've got a large organization. We've had a lot of success. So it's obviously worked. And I didn't create this myself. I just learned from other people. Everything we're talking to you, we learned from books that other people have implemented. And we're just saying, hey, maybe we can share the message to our followers on certain things to do. Because we didn't wake up one day and was like, yes, we're doing this. It's just all things
books,
that we have learned.
Podcasts, speakers, and I think like
Instagram.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot, but I think
TikTok.
I'm not as much on that one. I'm on the more 65 and older age on that. But
so MySpace.
Yeah, right. Zanga. Anyone remember that? That was way old. Anyways, okay. But you could just kind of talk about how we set boundaries within like even like screen time to just maintain that structure, consistency within the family, boundaries around behavior, discipline, which again, they're kids, they're unpredictable. It doesn't always work. We're like no hitting siblings, and last night Jonah literally put his thumb in Mateo's eye. So you try your best, but you got to be ready to call an audible. But
somebody ran out of patience.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much for
that. last night.
Okay. We try our best. Like, it's a work in progress. It's the growth that we're aiming for, not perfection. And honestly, that does remind me of something I, you know, like we talk about, we sometimes our culture specifically, there's a lot of emphasis on perfection and doing things right and making people proud. And that's been something hard for me to unlearn, is perfection and not feeling like a failure when I don't do something right. Like, yeah, last night I'm not proud. I did lose my patience. I'm never get that frustrated with my kids, but I watched him put his thumb into his eye. Anyway, so I lost my patience. It's a work in progress, opportunities for growth. Like I always say, failure, mistakes, they're opportunities for improvement. And I really tried to bring that narrative and that language into our home so that my kids don't follow my same way of like seeking perfection, because sometimes it stops me from even trying to do anything or even taking risks at all because of that fear of failure or not doing a good job or being called out. So I really tried to... I really, in the growth mindset way, I'd love to do an episode in the future as well too on like perfectionism, because it's definitely been something that's run deep for me too. And I know you kind of have like not necessarily perfectionism, but some of the rejection pieces and like wanting the need for approval from certain things in our backgrounds can be hard for us. So that'd be a really introspective, interesting episode sometime. But back to like the last kind of notes on the boundary setting pieces, we kind of talked about how we do it with our personal time and space, like when he gets home, kind of protecting and non-negotiables about like, hey, I love to golf like once a week in the summer, or hey, I like to do a social hour with the friends like once a week or whatever. Like, so putting those boundaries around our personal time. We kind of talked about household responsibilities, how we set clear expectations, and even with like boundaries on, you know, screen time, tablet time. And because we've set those, the kids are really good. They know that if they get 15 minutes of tablet time after dinner while we're cleaning up and we tell Alexa to set a timer, they know. Even Mateo, who's two, when he hears the timer goes off, he goes, here you go, and hands it back because of those.
Two out of the three usually are good with it.
Yeah, that middle one. But, and even like things like division of household chores. I know you and I have had that conversation, like the dishes make me want to die. Like I do not like unloading the dishwasher.
Laundry, no thanks.
And he's laundry and I don't mind laundry and he doesn't mind dishes. So therefore, like we've kind of set some boundaries. I'm like, hey, you're going to be the dishes unloader. I'm going to be the laundry person. And just kind of try as much as you can. Like it, like I said, marriage, family life is never going to be a fair distribution. It's never going to be a 50-50, but you know, you just know that we have our best interests. Like I know that he's going to do that because he knows I don't like it. I do that because I know he doesn't like it. Even in regards to parenting, like I said, with some of the behavioral discipline, try our best. Kids are unpredictable, but screen time, we try to do that. Quality time, we're pretty good about setting boundaries around making sure that we always do, pretty much always do family meals together. I mean, lunch is the only one we don't do because you're gone, but I do with the boys. But we always have breakfast together as a family, dinner together as a family. And we do have really strong boundaries around those. I mean, I'm luckily, and this is another episode that I'd love to do too, we are not big into pushing our kids into like sports. We don't pack our schedule. I would say we have pretty good boundaries around our family time. And that includes like the evening hours, which is why we don't really push or try to encourage a ton of sport involvement. I like to stick to maybe one activity per kid per like semester. They want to do something. Jonah's ice hockey just ended. Sophia's doing a volleyball that ends in April. So they obviously do partake in things, but I protect our quality time, our family time, very religiously. And we try to be pretty good about our Sundays as well too. That's family time. We go to church. And like I said, our pastor at Stonebridge just had a really good message about really boundaries and protecting that Sabbath. We've kind of forgotten that as a culture, and it gets so busy and it's easy. Work has kind of taken over here in the US. And so we have to fill our weekends and our evenings with all these other things. But I feel like we do a really good job too. In our home, we try to protect our quality time, our family trips, our dinners, our weekends. We try to be really cognizant of that. And then emotional boundaries, we try to be really good about that. Granted, this is a work in progress. We've been married for almost how many years now this summer?
10 almost.
10. And we've been together longer than that. But I mean, we've certainly had our ups and downs. And, you know, he's going to have a book coming out. And it talks about the struggle to even for us to get married. There is a lot of like strife and contention, and it hasn't been done before. So there's some old wounds there. But we had to like learn kind of like respect and what's a touchy point for him. Like I was getting really frustrated with certain family members and what's a touchy point for him, and setting boundaries around, hey, like, I really don't want you to talk about this with me, or, hey, I really don't want you to talk about this at all. Or how can we, what's an easier way to communicate? Sometimes I was having struggle with you because I'm like, I kept feeling like I had to pull things out of you to communicate. And you're like, well, for me, it's easier to send you an email or to text you. Sometimes to this day, that's better. Like we had a phone call yesterday. Again, not perfect over here. We had a phone call yesterday. You were kind of frustrated. So you got off the phone and you texted me, because I think it's easier for you to put it down like in words there than articulate it verbally to me. And like, then it even showed me last night, because I was playing with the boys. Sophia got hurt. So she wrote a note and slipped it under the door when I was in the boys. She's like, I'm feeling sad. And I came to her room. She's like, yeah, I just wrote the note and I wanted to give it to you because I didn't want to say it to you. So it's like finding those ways of, for your emotional boundaries, the ways that you like to communicate, whether it's in person, text, writing it down. I know we started working with counselor because it was an easier way, like had to have someone there to kind of help encourage and get the conversations rolling and get some resolutions and find ways to work together. So I really credit, of course, her for some of the emotional boundaries we've been able to set in place and just continuing to learn and grow from each other. But I feel like all of these things have helped us to set boundaries at home and work and maintain that balance, respect, and like harmony as much as we try in our relationships. And again, it's always a work in progress, but yeah, I would say that's about it. That's all we have for today. I hope you guys got something out of this. I know we kind of covered a lot between delegation and boundaries, but they're really important topics. Like I said, maybe we can link below. Our pastor had a really good message on kind of boundary setting and prioritizing family time. We'd love to hear from you guys. If you guys ever have any questions or want, maybe you business owner kind of want more detailed information on how Cyrus kind of does some of his time blocking, or for me as a stay-at-home mom, definitely email us or let us know and share your experience as well too. We've got a lot of fun episodes coming up. Like I said, some introspective ones about perfectionism and kind of need for approval. And then some of our ones about the environment and how you can grow in that environment, and how we're looking at maybe doing some time abroad to kind of broaden our environment and view of the world. So you guys will have to stay tuned for some of those. And thanks again for listening. If you like it, you can subscribe. What's the thing? So you know how to
subscribe. Keep growing.